also, Kevin, or one of our deacons, we're just going to need a bottle or a glass of water up here, okay?
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. He makes me a bit nervous talking about how much of a blessing I'm going to be to you. Because I want to tell you at the outset, I am a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. The only thing I've got to recommend me to the Father is my Savior, my High Priest. And I'm always amazed to find myself in a pulpit. I think, Lord, you must be very stuck. But he's gracious and kind. And I'm from Ireland. Anybody know where Ireland is? Now, listen, I said that, even though your pastor has said that, because invariably, after I preach and have told people I'm from Ireland, people come up to me and say, "And what part of Scotland are you from?" And we've nothing against the Scottish people. They're great people, but I'm from Ireland. Could everybody say the word Ireland? Ireland, all right, all right. I'd like you to turn this morning to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark, the 10th chapter, and we'll begin reading at verse 46. Mark 10, 46. "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still." Oh, precious words. Read them again. "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." What a wonderful story, isn't that? You know, it's wonderful to note in the Bible, the accounts of people and things standing still. In Exodus 14:13, do you remember that? The children of Israel were commanded to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Joshua 3:8, the priests were ordered to stand still in the Jordan. And then in Joshua 10:13, I'll quote it, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves of their enemies." Oh, isn't that wonderful? Things and people standing still. But here, in this great passage, we see the sovereign creator of the universe, the one who created the sun and fashioned and framed the cosmos. Here he is, standing still. Why? At the cry of a poor, blind, broken beggar man who's crying out for mercy. And so today I have come to you to talk to you about Jesus. That's the purpose of this message. I want to talk to you about Jesus. I want to tell you something more about Jesus, about how wonderful, how excellent He is. For Jesus will stand still for the worst of us. He will stop what He's doing just for you. He's wonderful. He's lovely. Now, who was this man Bartimaeus, this man that we've encountered? Well, the Scripture says to us very plainly, he's the son of Timaeus. You see, that word Bar means son of. Remember, Simon Bar Jonah, or Simon Bar Jonas, son of Jonas, son of Jonah. And here we have the son of Timaeus. That's all he's called, Bar Timaeus. And that's what he is. He's not Bart, he's just Bar Timaeus. Now, that's interesting because Timaeus means defiled one. So here he is, he's the son of a defiled man. Ooh, sounds a bit rough. The son of a defiled man. Do you mean he doesn't even have a first name? Nobody gives him a first name. He might have been Fred or Alec, I don't know. But he's just called Bartimaeus, son of a defiled man. Where is he? He's sitting in a ditch. No prospects. No future. No money. He's broke. Well, what else do we know about him? Well, we know he's blind. Can't see a thing. What else do we know about him? We know he's poor. He's a beggar man. A poor, blind beggar. The son of a defiled man. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? Sounds awful, doesn't it? Sounds horrendous when you look at it. But let me tell you this. It sounds a whole lot like us outside of redemption. It really does. It sounds just like us because we were all by our birth sons and daughters of a defiled man. His name was Adam. For by one man, who's that one man? Adam. Sin entered, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Where did it say that, brother? It says it in Romans 5 and verse 12. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, it says, as in Adam, all die. That's your inheritance. That's what He's left us. That's what He's bequeathed to us. Death. Sin, a poison has passed into your veins. I'm not preaching that, John. I'm telling you, I'm with you. I'm right there. That was our inheritance because of one man, Adam. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ. Oh, thank God for this part of it. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And all the mess, and all the condemnation, and all the spiritual death, and all the spiritual poverty has come to us through one man, Adam. We were all beggars by the highway of life, by the wayside of life. And then look at verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. See, he heard somebody say, Jesus of Nazareth. Now he seems to have recognize this name. He began to cry out, Jesus of Nazareth, sorry, Jesus of the son of David, have mercy on me. I love this story. This man heard the shortest possible sermon that anybody probably ever heard. You know, we preachers are long-winded. Well, some are. I'm not. I'm going to be very short. But this is a really short sermon. Jesus is passing by. That's a pretty short sermon, isn't it? But that was his sermon. That was all the sermon he needed. Oh my, it caused Bartimaeus to pray. Where did he pray? He cries out to the Lord, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. That's prayer. Hey, listen, what's it going to take to make you pray? Oh my friend, what's it going to take? This man is deadly earnest. Jesus is passing by and he cries out, have mercy. Oh, I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus is passing by right now. He's here. And if you need mercy, call out to Him. Amen. I don't have to do anything at the end of the service and bring you down to the front. You can call out right now where you're sitting right now. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need mercy. I need you to save me. I tell you, He's here to save. You don't need any more exhortation than that. Call out to Him wherever you are. Have mercy. Look, we don't know how it had happened, but it looks like somebody had at some time talked to Bartimaeus about Jesus. Somebody perhaps had said to him one day, "Hey, Bartimaeus, listen to me. I think you ought to know that there was an old boy up there in Capernaum, and he was just as blind as you were." He was. I saw him myself. He was just as blind as you were. And Jesus healed him. No, I'm serious. He healed him. Jesus did. And, you know, this man, Jesus, well, he might be the Messiah. I don't know, but he might be. He's from Nazareth. But he wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. And you know, the Bible says, or the Scripture says, that the Messiah is to come out of Bethlehem. And he was born there, right enough. He wasn't born in Nazareth, even though he was raised up there. And he's got the whole of the country in their uproar, Bartimaeus. I mean, people are going mad at him. I mean, Herod wants to kill him. And the high priests are hopping mad, and the Pharisees, oh my goodness, they're gnashing their teeth because of everything this man teaches and everything that he does. And I saw him up in Capernaum. It was amazing. It was just amazing. And all he did, there was this blind man, and all he did was go over to him, and he just touched him. Touched his eyes. And the man received his sight. I was there, Bartimaeus. I saw it myself. I wonder, did Bartimaeus like that? Did he like that story? I wonder, did he say, "Oh, tell me that again. Tell me again. There's somebody got healed." Oh, by who? By Jesus. Yes, Bartimaeus. He might be the Messiah because he was born in Bethlehem. He was. And Isaiah says that the Messiah will bind up the broken hearts and that he'll give sight to the blind. And this is what that man... Doesn't it say that, Bartimaeus? It says it in Isaiah. It does. It does, says Bartimaeus. And I saw it myself. He just healed him of his blindness. Oh, yes. That's what the Messiah is going to do when he comes among us. And Bartimaeus clapped his hands and he says, there's hope for me because there's someone in this country, his name is Jesus. Oh, I wish I could go and find him, but I can't do that. I'm poor and blind and helpless. And oh, that Jesus would come, that he would come to me. And then one day, he hears a sermon. Jesus is passing by. Jesus! Yes, Jesus is passing by. And he cries out. Notice it wasn't a half-hearted effort. He cries out, "Jesus!" Oh, I wish I could have heard that. Why is it we get so nervous about expressing ourselves? Jesus! Do you know that word Jesus means? Savior. Savior! Son of David. That's the Christ. Who was the Christ? Who was he to be? He was to be prophet, priest, and king. Savior, prophet, priest, and king. This is what is the language coming out of poor, old, broken Bartimaeus. This helpless sinner sitting there. Oh, Jesus, Son of David. What? Have mercy. Have mercy on me. You know, when you ask for mercy, you're asking to be delivered from the justice of God. See, we talk about salvation. Are you saved? Now, if you're visiting, you might know our buzzwords. We have buzzwords, but they're Bible buzzwords. Some people don't like to use the word saved. I see nothing wrong with it because it's in the Bible. And do you know what salvation, implicit in salvation, do you know what there is? There's the word danger. Saved from what? Danger. You get saved because you're in danger. Danger of what? The wrath of God. Oh, God wouldn't be wrathful on anybody. Oh, God just loves everybody. Yes, God is love, but God is just. And God must punish sin. Must. Why? Because He's just. It's in His character. It's not that He's vengeful. It's not that He's out to get us. But sin must be punished, just as any lawbreaker must be punished. Well, have mercy. And when you're crying for mercy, you're acknowledging that you need to be delivered from the justice of God. You see, grace and mercy are two different things. When you get mercy, you're not getting what you deserve. When you get grace, you're getting what you don't deserve. You want me to run that by you again? That's not too complicated, is it? Okay, mercy stops you from getting what you deserve. What you deserve? Wrath! And that's why people don't get saved, by the way, because they can't see that they're sinners. If I could ever find a sinner, I could preach the gospel to them, the chances are they might get saved. But this day and age, I don't know. Nobody's a sinner anymore. Oh, they're not. I get very offended. And that's why I said at the start, I'm a sinner. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just know that if Jesus Christ had not died on the cross, I'd be straight for hell. Because there's nothing in me to recommend me to God. My best efforts, on my best day, are flawed. And my motives are all messed up. I can't even preach for the glory of God. Oh, brother, I'm telling you. I'm preaching with mixed motives. My best efforts. What do you mean, mixed motives? Well, any preacher worth his salt should be preaching only for the glory of God. But I also want you to like me. Yeah. That's sinful. That's wickedness. Guilty. Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy. You see, mercy delivers you from what you should get, and grace gives you what you shouldn't get. What's that? Favor! Acceptance! Declaration of being not guilty! How can that be? Because Jesus Amen. Died for me. Amen. He took responsibility. Isn't this good news?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good news. Where were we? So, Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus. Have you? Well, you say everybody's heard about him. Okay, but does what you've heard about him relate to your need? You see, Jesus won't save you until he comes your way. Now, what I mean by that is this. Bartimaeus knew he was in need. If you don't know that you're in need, you'll not be saved. If you don't know that you're lost, you'll not be found. You'll just stay lost. And you'll be happy. And you'll go to hell. You've got to be lost to be found. And I can't make you lost. I mean, I could preach the law to you, but unless the Holy Spirit kicks in, you're not going to get convicted. Unless God shows you you're lost, unless the Holy Spirit graciously shows you that you are absolutely undone, that you're a sinner, and God hates sin and must punish, unless the Holy Spirit shows up, I can't help you. I can tell you the words, but Jesus has got to show up in your life. And if you're not saved today, your biggest need is mercy. Oh, I'm not preaching down at you. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, you need mercy. I need mercy all the time. Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner, as a thorough, dyed-in-the-wool sinner? You see, my friend, sir, listen to me, young lady, listen to me. It's time to stop judging everybody else and looking at their shortcomings. I mean, that's easy. What about you? Are you prepared to cry out, Lord, have mercy on me? Not have mercy on my family. Now, your family may need mercy, but Lord, have mercy on me. Not Lord, have mercy on America. What about you, my friend? Lord, have mercy on me. And notice in the next verse, verse 48, it's almost heartbreaking. The people around him charged him that he should hold his peace. Here's a bunch of people who would have tried to keep a man from coming to Christ. Do you know why? I had to think about this. Well, let's face it, here he is. He's blind. He's broke. He's in a bad way. He's the son of a defiled man. He's got no pedigree, no breeding, no education, no money, nothing. Useless. Failure. What interest would Jesus have in him? So they say, shush, don't be annoying, Jesus. Ooh, keep quiet, Bartimaeus. Jesus is not for the likes of you. But you know what? If they had really had the heart of God, they would have said, Lord, somebody over here is crying out for help. So listen to me, believer, you say you're a believer. Let me ask you, would you bring the gospel to someone who's homeless and broke and poor? Or are they just not worth saving? I mean, what good can they do to the church? They can't give offerings. I mean, at so many churches just want to get the lawyers in and the businessmen in and the dentists in and the doctors in. And thank God for every saved dentist and doctor and lawyer. Amen for all of that. And the architects and everybody. But is that just the target group? Or are we looking for trophies for grace? What about the poor old Bartimaeus's, the failures, the helpless cases? And so the down and outs are not unimportant. And so here we see the difference between Jesus and many of his so-called followers. Jesus sees past Bartimaeus being blind. He sees past Bartimaeus being broke. He sees past Bartimaeus being a beggar. And we come to this amazingly stunning statement in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Do you know this one statement, and Jesus stood still? That reveals the heart, the very heart of God. It didn't matter to Jesus that Bartimaeus had no social standing. It didn't matter to Jesus that Bartimaeus was poor and blind. Oh, Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus was worth something. Jesus was concerned for him. Jesus had compassion on him. Now, I want to tell you this. Jesus, in this passage, is on his way to Jerusalem, for he's on his way to the cross. This is his purpose. He came here to the cross. That was not an afterthought. From eternity, he had planned to come to the cross. Oh, absolutely. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And this is the eternal purpose. And nobody can stop him. And he's going to Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint when he came off the Mount of Transfiguration. And he marches out in front of the disciples, headed towards Jerusalem. And then he stops and explains that he's going to Jerusalem. And he must be lifted up, turned over to the wicked hands of his enemies, and there killed and executed. And he set his face to go to the cross, to accomplish redemption. Nothing could stop him. Going to Jerusalem to make himself an offering for sins. But Jesus stood still. Herod couldn't make him stand still. The high priest couldn't make him stand still. Pilate couldn't make him stand still. The Pharisees couldn't make him stand still. But Jesus stood still at the sincere heart cry of a sinner in need. That was the thing that stopped him. And when we're dealing with Jesus, we're dealing with He who is the God-man. He's fully man and fully God. He's God in human flesh. And see, Jesus, how do you get to know God? You can go and sit under a tree and meditate on your belly button all day long, but you'll not understand anything about God. You'll get to know God as Jesus interprets God to you. He's the interpretation of God. And what's God like? Well, He's like Jesus because He is God. Jesus and God, one and the same. And Jesus stood still. Who stood still? God stood still at the cry of a broken man. And He'll stand still today. He'll save you today. Amen. Would you cry out to Him? Amen. and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cry out to Him where you are. And this we know about God. God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus. And whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. He so loved the world. You can't measure that little word, so. You can't estimate the depth of His love. He so loved the world. You can't estimate the height of that love. He so loved the world. You can't estimate the breadth of that love. He so loved. You can't understand or measure the length of that love. It so loved the world. God so loved. And Jesus so loved. And that's why He stood still. And that's why He'll stand still this morning. For you. I don't care how bad off you are. I don't care how broke you are. I don't care how much of a failure you think you are. How much of an outcast you think you are. He'll stand still at your cry. Is there someone here this morning who's lost? Lost and you know it. That might sound like a little buzzword, but that means that you know you're outside of God's grace. You're under His judgment. You're lost. You're a sinner. It's troubling you. You're in desperate need. Well, call on Him. Call on Him right now. Ask Him for His mercy. Jesus stands still at that cry. And anyone who is aware of their guilt, anyone who's like Bartimaeus, blind, unable to do anything about your situation, call out for mercy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who was delivered up for our sin. He's the one who was crucified for sinners. Bartimaeus, boy, he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. This man is not playing games with God. And can I just counsel you? Do not play games with God, or you'll end up in hell. Now, I'm trying to bring you a message of love, but in love I'm telling you that. Don't play games with God. And so, Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus was hungry, he's poverty stricken, he's miserable, he needed help. And he cried unto Jesus, and Jesus stood still. Now notice what Bartimaeus did next. Scripture says he threw away his garment. Now, what was his garment? Well, some people say that was probably to keep him warm, maybe. But you know, beggars in those days had a special garment, a shawl, a beggar's shawl, to identify them as beggars. And I believe this is what he threw away. Whatever it was, he just threw it away. And what he's saying is this, I'm not going back to begging anymore. I've met Jesus. He's here. I'm not... Throw that thing away. Boy, there's something instructive here. Oh, it's so instructive. When he came to Jesus, old Bartimaeus broke fellowship with his old life.
Amen.
Now that is so instructive. He cast it away. Now maybe you're a young believer and you're struggling. Maybe you're an older believer and you're struggling. But I find a lot of younger believers struggle because they don't break with the old life. Don't break with the old friends. Don't break with the old habits and think, oh, well, I can still stay there. Listen, that stuff will destroy you. That stuff will keep you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus breaks with his old life. He says, here, I'm going for Jesus. I've had enough of begging. I'm out of here. This man's walking in faith. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew there was no possibility that Jesus could refuse him. Have mercy on me. And he throws away his garment. And then Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do? Oh, the Master. What a wonderful question. What do you want me to do? And we can learn from this. Let the Master ask you that question. Believer, let Him ask you, what is it you want from Jesus? All of us, what do we want from Jesus? I said, well, brother, I would just like a life free from hardships. Well, you've come to the wrong place this morning. I'd like a life free from problems. You've come to the wrong place. I want Jesus to give me wealth. You're in the wrong place. But if you want life, spiritual life, you are in the right place. If you want eternal life, you are in the right place. If you want forgiveness for sins, you are in the right place. If you want mercy, you're in the right place. If you want a clear, clean conscience, you're in the right place. So what do you want? Oh, and that's what Jesus asked Bartimaeus. He said, what do you want? And Bartimaeus said, oh, I want to see. I want to see. You know the first thing he's going to see? Is the face of Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, how precious. You know, Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer, that's what, she was blinded in infancy, and somebody said, look, there's a man who could pray for you to see. And he said, no, I don't want that. Why not? You not want to see? He said, no, I'm going to get to see when I get to heaven, and the first face I'm going to see is the face of Jesus. Didn't want to get it messed up by seeing trees and birds and ugly human beings. She wanted to see Jesus. Oh, Bartimaeus, I want to see. And he's going to get to look into the Master's glorious eyes. And I got to ask you, would you like to see Jesus? Look upon His face. Then believe on Him. Trust on Him. Rely on Him. Put your confidence on Him. Listen, religion can't help you one little bit. Doing better can't help you one little bit. Doing all manner of good religious things can't help you one little bit. But all the doing that you require has been done by Jesus. Rest on Him. Trust on Him alone. Oh, this is good news. Good news. And you know what happened to Bartimaeus? When he received his sight, look at the last verse in 52, and immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the way. Oh yeah. And that's what happens when you receive your sight. You become a follower of Jesus. Now your following doesn't save you, but it's just this result of being saved. You become a follower. What are you? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a Bible believer. A follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it like this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Isn't that right? That just happens. Sheep follow the shepherd. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And Jesus will stand still for you, my friend, no matter how bad off you are this morning. Jesus will stand still. Cry out to Him for mercy. He's kind. He's good. He's merciful. Oh, I'm going to finish with an old hymn from another generation. Listen to these words. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one. Lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was. Weary, worn, and sad. I found in Him the resting place, and He has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream, and my thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts and glorify His name. Let's pray. I'm going to hand over to the pastor in just a moment, but let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I'd ask if there was any unsaved person here, that You would give them no peace, that You would trouble their conscience, trouble them deep within their soul, that they would know the reality of sin, the reality of judgment, and the reality of the cross where You have been judged in the place of sinners. Oh Lord, and the reality of You as the only hope for sinners. We'd ask that you would do this in your grace and mercy in Jesus' name.
Let's just keep our heads bowed, if you would, for just a moment before we're dismissed today. And I don't believe in any accidents, of course. If you're here today, it's not an accident that you were here today for this message. You were here because the Lord brought you here to hear from His Word this morning. So there's no coincidences. The message was very clear this morning. The preacher simply lifted up Jesus Christ and all of His beauty, the simplicity of who Jesus Christ is and what He can do for you this morning. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, I don't know what kind of background you may have, religion you may have come in with, but obviously you saw by now this is not about religion here in this place. It's simply about Jesus Christ. Do you know my Savior? Do you really know Him? Do you know Him this morning? Do you have a personal knowledge and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You may have heard about Him like Bartimaeus, but until that day on that road, Bartimaeus had no relationship with Jesus Christ, although he may have known some things and even have believed some things about Jesus. But on that day, he met the Savior. On that day, he trusted the Savior. On that day, he came to the Savior. Now, today is the day, perhaps for you. You may have known and even believed some things about Jesus. But do you know Jesus? Have you ever come to Jesus? Have you ever trusted Him with all of your heart? Simple faith, trusted Him. And if not, would you do it now? Would you do it today? Could today, right now, be the day of your salvation? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We are not trying to get anything out of you, but simply offer to you what was given to us. Salvation, free salvation through Jesus Christ. We can tell you about it. Is there someone here this morning you'd say, I don't know for sure if I died today that I would go to heaven? But I would appreciate it if you would pray for me. Pray for me this morning that I might know for certain that I have eternal life. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is that you this morning? If that's you and that's your need and your prayer this morning, would you just lift your hand and could we pray for you this morning? Yes, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? Just slip your hand up and then put it right back down. Could we pray for you this morning? Could I pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand up. Do you know you need to be saved this morning? Are you willing to trust Jesus Christ to save you today, right here this morning? He will. There's nothing else needed. There's no series of classes you have to sit through. There's no qualification you need. You don't have to be pre-qualified. You came in here qualified to be saved. You're lost. If you need Jesus Christ this morning and you're willing to let Him save you, that's all the qualification you need. Yes, sir. God bless you, sir. Is there someone else this morning? I'm not offering you religion. I'm not offering you church membership. I'm not offering you a list of things that you have to start doing now. I'm simply asking you this morning, do you know you need Jesus this morning? Have you ever really trusted Him? Would you be willing this morning to let Him save you? If it were really that simple, would you let Him save you this morning? Is there anyone else here this morning? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Could we pray for you today? Slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone else? All right. We're going to pray, and then we're going to be dismissed. But if you lifted your hand this morning, we're here for you. We'll help you. As the service is ending, please come to us. We'll sit down privately with you, show you from the Scriptures, answer any questions that you might have, so that in your heart today it could be settled. It could be settled. You could walk out of here assured from God's Word, not on our Word, but on God's Word, assured that you have everlasting life. Father, we pray this morning for these that have lifted their hands, that, Lord, you may help them this morning, that it might be settled, their salvation would be settled today, that they would trust you with all their heart and simply rest in that finished work that Jesus Christ did for them. Help them to understand it this morning. Just give them peace. Let them know for sure, Lord, that their sins are forgiven and that they have everlasting life. We thank you for the message this morning and for the messenger today. Father, thank you so much for just letting us see again the wonder, the beauty, the grace and the mercy of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to fall more and more in love with Him. Lord, help us just to rejoice in Him. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for what you are doing in the hearts of your people. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless the meetings to follow throughout this week. Help us, Lord, as a church, that we would not forsake this assembling of ourselves together, an opportunity here for us to meet around the Word of God and just to consider Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Strengthen our church. Cleanse us of sin. Help us to draw closer, Lord, to our Savior. We thank you for this time together, Lord, and as we go from this place, we pray that you may bless each one, get everybody home safely. Help us, Lord, throughout this day to remember to be a testimony. And Lord, may you use us. May you get pleasure and joy out of our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you, and we are dismissed. If you lifted your hand, give us a minute to talk to you as the service ends. And God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. We're dismissed.